Give God some more praise. Hallelujah. Well, as I said, you want to get Wednesday's message because we taught four principles for building intimacy with God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Extremely important. We're still on the message called Divine Partnership. Somebody say Divine Partnership. In understanding that we are co-laborers together with Christ. The word Christ is translated in the Hebrew language, the Messiah. In the New Testament, it's the Anointed One. Somebody say the Anointed One and His anointing. Acts 10 and 38 said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he, Jesus, went and did good to all those who were oppressed of the devil. He did good and he healed all those who were oppressed of the devil. Amen. So the anointing upon us has the ability, or gives us the ability, to do good and to bring healing to all who are oppressed of the devil. Amen. For God was with him. Everybody say, God was with him. Amen. It's very important that you and I understand that God is in us and that God is with us. Amen. Sometimes you cannot, I'm not going to say sometimes, you cannot live by your feelings. Feelings are deceptive. I'm just walking my way up here. I'm going to go to the scripture. Amen. Feelings are deceptive. If you allow yourself to be governed by your sense realm, you'll never be used by God. Because people who are governed by their feelings and their emotions, when you get down, you think God left you. When you're up, you think God's with you. When you have money, you think God's with you. When you don't have money, you think God's punishing you. When your kids are good, God must be good. When the kids are bad, what did I do wrong? You know what I mean? But God is with you in the good and in the bad. It's amazing that Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that God commended his love toward us in that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That means God was after us when we was in our worst condition. And it's funny how Satan causes us to be deprived of many of the things that God has promised us, because once we get born again, all of a sudden legalism and rules and regulations start getting implemented, and now we think that we are all of a sudden justified by our own works. Hear what I'm about to say here. God is with you regardless. Amen. The good and the bad, he's with you. Now, like I said a couple weeks ago, and this is very important, because the reason why I'm saying this to you right here, and I'm going to go to the couple weeks thing. The reason why I'm saying this to you right here is because we determine and base our relationship with God based upon our actions and our deeds. And you can't do that. Amen. There's something, Smith Wigglesworth said this right here. There is something way more valuable than feelings and emotions. And it is the naked word of God. That means you take God's word just for what it says it is, and you get it fixed in your heart, and you believe it, and you settle it in your spirit, regardless of what your situations look like, regardless of what the circumstance look like. These are the kind of people that God is going to use to change the world. People who are not governed by emotions, feelings, outside circumstances, and situations. For the most part, and oftentimes the reason why we can't change outside circumstances and situations is because God is still trying to get us governed and controlled by the Holy Spirit first. We want the Holy Spirit to flow through us so we can raise the dead. But there's some dead situations in us that he wants to raise first. We want the Holy Spirit to flow through us so we can heal the sick. But there's some sick situations in us that he wants to heal first. We want the Holy Spirit to lay hands and call money from the north, south. But God, the Holy Spirit is trying to fix us and our natural situation concerning finances, marriage, our children, or whatever the case may be. So put your hands right here and say, Holy Ghost, fix me. I'm in need of a good fixing. Turn your Bible to our foundation scripture. Because today's title, Brother Jason, is going to be entitled Divine Partnership. And the power of the secret place. The power of the secret place. This is important right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 is our foundation scripture. It says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say grace. And the love of God. Somebody say love. And the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Somebody say communion. The word communion is translated intimate fellowship, participation, sharing together. But the most important definition is partnership. The partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now tell yourself this. Say, myself, I am a partner together with God Almighty. Whew, that's a powerful statement. That's a powerful statement. Say that one more time. Say, I am a partner with God Almighty. My God. See, if you as a partner with Donald Trump, and I'm only using and making reference to him because everybody know who Donald Trump is. If you were a partner or a sharer together with or a sharer in possessions with Donald Trump, then you would have confidence that there will be no lack in your life. Amen. If you are a partner with Bill Gates, the same thing. Well, you are a partner with the person who created Bill Gates, who gave Bill Gates the ability to create Microsoft. You got to catch what I'm saying here. Far greater than Bill Gates, the partner that you have right now on the inside of you, God, the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to say it again, the most neglected person of the Godhead. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, just jot it down because I'm just flowing today. John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, these things shall you do and greater because I go to the Father. He said, if I go not to the Father, he said, the Comforter will not come. But when he went to the Father, the Holy Spirit came upon man in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and man was again infused with the power of God like Adam had in the beginning. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We were restored back to our original intention, meaning you and I now have the ability to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, to subdue, and to have dominion, to take God's original plan. Because remember, God didn't say, oops, I made a mistake. He's not on plan B. God is still on plan A. Amen. I'm preaching today. Somebody got to catch this here. He's still on plan A. So now, the way Adam walked with God in the cool of the day, the word cool in the Hebrew is the word spirit. Adam walked in the spirit. The way he walked with God, you and I have to walk with God. But the dilemma is, in order to walk with somebody, according to the scripture, Amos 3 and 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So our walk with God is determined upon our agreement with God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this right here. If any man come to God, he must first believe that he is and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. I think verse 3 says this right here. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. There it is, the same verse. Verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For him that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. But the first part I want to focus on is right here. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Somebody say, please God. When I first studied that word please, I thought that word please meant that I was going to satisfy God when I had faith. That's not what that word means. That word please, if you study it, means to agree with God. So it's telling you without faith, it's impossible to agree with God. So in order for me to walk with God, I have to be in agreement with God. In order for me to agree with God, I must have faith. Are you catching this? In order for me to walk with God, somebody say walk with God. I have to be in agreement with God. Somebody say agreement with God. And in order for me to agree with God, I must have faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to agree with God. Are you seeing this right here? So God never comes down on our level of thinking. I didn't say our level of living because Jesus came here. Our level of thinking. Jesus came, Philippians chapter 2, as a partner together with the Holy Ghost. Acts 10 and 38, we saw that, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power when he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus came and he personified and he gave an example of what it is to be a man who is in partnership with God, as a co-laborer together with God. So he left his heavenly dignity and he came to earth and took on the form of the fashion as a man. And being found in the fashion as a man, the Bible said he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God had highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name. I'm trying to show you something here. So God will never require something from you without first placing that example or that exhibition or commending it, which means putting it on display that it can be done. So Jesus came as the God-man in the flesh and he said, this is how you should live. I'm trying to show you something here. Because tradition and religion has robbed us of our authority as Christians. Amen. Somebody say amen. Now we have Christians that are powerless because we don't believe that we can do what Jesus did when he said in John 14 and 12, these things shall you do and greater because I go to the Father. So what is he telling you? He said, if I don't go to the Father, I'm not going to send the Comforter. Who is the Comforter? The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. So now that you have the Spirit of God in you, this is why I say he's the most ignored person of the Godhead. Because all of that power on the inside of us, and the devil keep breaking in, stealing our stuff, taking our kids, taking our community. And we got the very power that created heaven and earth on the inside of us. Lord have mercy. I'm trying to tell you something. You and I are partners together with God. Somebody say, I'm a partner with God. Another scripture to validate it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. One more time. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, God is faithful. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God is faithful. I mean, this you could just stop right there. By whom ye were called into or unto the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The word fellowship, circle that in your Bible, amen. If you don't got a Bible that you can circle and underline and highlight, you need to get another Bible. Amen. The word fellowship is the same word, koinonia, which means partnership. So you and I were called. Somebody say, I was called. See, that's a powerful word in the church because people say, you know, this is my calling. Another word for the word call, well, in the Old Testament, is the word kaleo, which means to summon, to call by name and summon. It's the same word. Well, it's not the same word that Adam used. Another synonym word is the word quara that Adam used when the Bible said, and whatever Adam called the animals, that was the name thereof. But the word kaleo means to summon. Somebody say summon. So it means that you were summoned. It's as if you got some type of sealed letter from the President of the United States and you were summoned to a meeting, a counseling session together with the President. There will be a certain type of honor that you would have, regardless if you voted for him or not. I've been summoned to sit down in the presence of the President of the United States of America. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, you and I were summoned unto the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ. We were called unto the fellowship of his son, Jesus Christ. We were summoned to be partners with God. Are you catching this right here? My God. Now, here's the key right here. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I don't know about you, but I'm believing this thing. The scripture says, watch this, with God, all things are possible. Now back up, say it again, say with God. Well, what does with mean? The word with means alongside of, together with. Here's what it means right here. You've been summoned by God to be together with him. That's why one translation says the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That means every day you and I have the ability to be intimately acquainted with God. That means we have the ability to hear his voice, to know his voice, to talk together with him. Not like he's way out there. He's right in here. Jesus said the Comforter that abides with you, he shall be with you and in you. Now say that. Say, the Spirit of God is in me and he's with me. Now here's the key right here. Because what I would like to do is I would like to go over those four things that I taught Wednesday. 30 seconds of that. I'm just giving you those to write those down. And then I want you to see how that hour continuing, somebody say continuing, how that hour continuing will cause us to build and develop confidence and trust in our relationship with God. Because the reason why we keep turning back to other things and toward other people is because the confidence in that relationship hasn't been built yet. Are you catching what I'm saying? See, if I go to Pastor Sturgis and I sit down in his barber chair, I can close my eyes and I can fall asleep while he cut my hair. Because there's a certain level of confidence that has been built between him and I and his position as the person that will cut my hair. Because progressively over time, he has proven to me, progressively over time, I'm saying it again, I'm teaching you something. He has proven to me that he knows what he's doing. The reason why we don't trust God in certain areas in our life is because we haven't went through the process. We haven't went through the process of learning how to build a relationship with him concerning healing. Are you seeing what I'm saying? See, some of us are strong when it comes to praying the prayer of faith, but we're weak when it comes to believing for finances. Some of us are strong when it comes to believing for finances, but we're weak when it comes to fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. So in order for you, watch this, to be strong in all areas, your intimacy with God has to be developed in all of those areas. That's why I'm preaching something good right here. That's why in the old covenant, they didn't have the ability to conceive God in his totality. So what they did is every time they got a revelation of him, they named him that in that place of that revelation. So when Isaac was up on the mountain as the sacrifice, when Abraham told his servants that I and the lad will go, watch this, and we will come back, amen, but we're going to worship God. When he got up there and the ram came out of the bush when he was about to stab his son, the angel told him, said, don't touch the boy. And a ram came out, and there God was revealed as Jehovah Yireh or Jehovah Jireh, our provider, or his provision is seen. So he got a revelation of God as a provider. Somebody say provider. But that ain't going to help you when you're sick. So you got to be intimate with God concerning him being Jehovah Rapha. So you got to start building intimacy with him. How do you do that? You get inside the word and you start abiding. Somebody say the power of the secret place. You got to abide in the word. It's the word meno. It means to continue. Now, let's just write these four things down. Principles for building intimacy with the Holy Spirit. The first one is the law or the principle of loss. Somebody say principle of loss. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There's no need to even go any farther than this first principle if you don't get this one. Somebody say amen. Now, I can say some stuff today that will make you so mad you'll never want to come here again. I'll be honest with you. I can say it to you. Amen. You'll never want to come here again. But you know what? Just because I am Claude Bevere, this particular pastor, I'm going to say it anyhow. Amen. Somebody say the law of loss. No Christian has the ability to gain his life unless he first loses it. Jesus said, whoever sets out to gain their life first will lose their life. He said, but whoever sets out to lose their life, and I'm not going to take you to the scriptures because the simple fact is that we did that Wednesday, so I'm just going to highlight it, and you can go back there and get the free CD or DVD or whatever you want to make a donation toward. Go ahead and do that, but you need to get that. I make it mandatory. Every Christian in the planet need to get this CD right here from Wednesday. But if you're not willing to first lose your life, then you'll never gain your life. Jesus said, you can't even be called a disciple without first losing your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? He's letting you know there's nothing more important than finding out who you are in him. Nothing, no job, no wife, no husband, no kids, no nothing. And these are the very things that we put above God. Somebody say, amen. The law of loss. If you're going to build principles of intimacy with the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, you can write it down, verse 7 all the way through 11, he said, what things were gained to me, I counted them as loss, that I might win the anointed one and be found in him. And we told the church that you can't even find yourself without first counting everything as loss. You can't. You can't. You can't even build properly as a Christian. This has been the whole problem. What we've done is we've taken and we said, okay, what are people going through? What are their situations? What are their circumstances? Now we took God and we just kind of fashioned our own little molten calf God. And we made him to be this God that fits and meets the needs of everybody no matter where they are. But that's not true. God never will come down to our level of thinking. Amen. He always wants us to come up to his level of thinking. That means he said in Malachi chapter 3, he said, for I am the Lord. I change not. God is not going to change. We're going to have to do the changing. Principle of loss. Principle of loss. In order to gain, you got to lose everything. Somebody say amen. The second principle. The second principle. Amen, is the principle of have and keep. Somebody say have and keep. If you're going to build intimacy with the Holy Ghost, you got to have God's word and you got to keep God's word. Have God's word and you got to keep God's word. John chapter 14 said, he that hath my word and keep my word, it is he that loves me. He said, and the Father will love him and I will love him. Watch this. Watch the promise behind this. He said, and then I will come to him and I will manifest myself to him. Why don't many people know the person of the Holy Spirit? Why don't we know him the way that we need to know him? Why are we not intimately acquainted with Jesus the way that we need to know him? Because we have to first have and keep his word. Somebody say have and keep his word. Now, I'm going to say something. We got more word in America than anywhere. We got 100,000 daily devotionals. Everybody writing books now because you got the internet. Amen. It's just, I heard one man, and I'm going to say this, just very important, because you got to be careful what you read. Because every book, just because it's a book, don't mean it's God's. Somebody say amen. Everybody want to say something, but not everybody got something to say. Everybody want to say something. You know what I mean? Everybody want to be a preacher. You know what I mean? Everybody want to be a preacher. Let me tell you something right now. You don't want to do what I do unless you're called to do it. Because the weight behind this right here and the condemnation and the judgment behind it, if you don't do it accurately, the word is clear. Don't desire to be a teacher because you receive the greater condemnation. You got to be summoned and called to do this because people's lives are in your hands. Amen. You got to have and keep God's word. Somebody say have and keep. Then the third principle, write this down. It's the principle of willful surrender. Willful surrender is a product of appropriating God's love properly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Romans 5 and 8 says that God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So I see God giving, and I see the scripture highlighting God giving, but what the scripture is not highlighting is Jesus' surrender. And it does highlight it if you look for it. Jesus' surrender. When he was going he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was mad because Peter and them wouldn't pray with him. Jesus said a profound statement. He was standing there, and his capillaries burst out. Blood was coming out. He was, sweating. He was in agony. He was in torment. He didn't just stand there like he about to get hung on the cross, stabbed in the side, nails and spikes through his wrists, through his feet. Amen. And he going to hang and die of asphyxiation. He's going to be on the cross for 6 hours, die of asphyxiation. Watch this. He ain't just standing like, okay, yeah, let's go ahead and go to the cross. That didn't happen. He was on his knees, and he said, Father, Father, if this cup can pass from me, if it's possible. Then he turned around and said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The principle of willful surrender means this right here. A lot of people think that Jesus died for us or for his love for us. Yes, it was his assignment to die for us. But Jesus didn't die because of his love for us. Jesus died because of his love for the Father. You got to catch what I'm saying. He was so willfully surrendered to the Father that whatever the Father assigned him to do, he readily submitted to it. This is why it's hard for us, I'm talking to somebody today, to have good relationships with people, because our vertical relationship with God ain't fixed yet. I'm not going to die for you if you cussing me out if my heart ain't right with God. Matter of fact, I might turn around and cuss you out. Now, I don't cuss. I'm just figuratively speaking. Somebody catch what I'm saying. This is why God can say stuff like this. Listen, love your enemies. pray for those that despitefully use you and curse you, so that you can be accounted as the children of your Father. Why would he say that? Because the same love, Jesus said, the love that you have loved me with, he said, that is the same love the Father going to love you with. Lord, have mercy. And when we receive, somebody said receive, and appropriate God's love for ourselves, that principle of willful surrender will evolve and give us the ability to follow God wholeheartedly. Do you see that right there? Amen. This is why we harm each other, because of our relationship. Here go another one. You ready for it? Jesus told Peter. He said, Peter, he said, Satan decide. He desires to sift you as wheat. He said, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. He said, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So what's the revelation? The word convert means to change. When God deals with you and changes you, now you have power to strengthen your brethren. He did not say when you are changed, change your brethren. He didn't say that. He said, when you are changed, strengthen your brother. Because you and I should have figured it out by now, but we cannot change nobody. Not even ourselves. Scripture reference, Philippians 2 and 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That means, watch this. That means if I'm going to change, it's going to be the agent of change, the Holy Spirit, that's going to do the changing in me. Scriptural reference, 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, even as by the Spirit of God. That means no intimate fellowship with the Spirit of God, no change. I'm going to say it again. No intimate fellowship with the Spirit of God, no change. So this is what we do. Pastor, I'm really trying. I'm really trying. You ain't supposed to be trying. You and I are supposed to be entering into the rest. Ceasing from our own works. Laboring to enter into the rest. What does that mean, rest? That means chill. The work has been finished. They said, Lord, what must we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe. So all I have to do is believe what he said. And when I believe what he said and just rest in my intimate fellowship with the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden he starts changing me. Our methods and programs don't work. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. You can have 12 step, 15 step, 17 step. Amen. You can have all the steps you want. AA, NA. Hey, you can have brickhead. You can have whatever you want to have. You can have all those steps, but that stuff do not work. That's why people be, they still recovering alcoholics after 35 years. Why? Because guess what? They trying to change. You can't change without God. This thing has been, listen, it's been set up from the very beginning. I'm going to tell you something powerful. Scripture reference, Ephesians 2 and 10. Amen. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. If you don't see yourself in Christ, there are no good works. If you don't see yourself in Christ, there are no good works. Glory be to God. Do y'all catch this right here? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. My God. We were predestined, called, and chosen before the foundation of the world to live the good life, the life that he preordained. But watch this right here. It happens in our intimacy with God and our recognition, Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, of all the good things that are in us, which are in Christ, causes our faith to become effectual. That's Philemon 1 and 6. The last principle is the principle of cooperation. Somebody say cooperation. My God, amen. We have to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. That means he's not going to do it for us. He's not going to operate it for us. He's going to do it with us. Somebody say with us. With us. So we have the principle. What's the first principle? What's the first one? The principle of what? Come on, help me out. Principle of what? What's the second principle? Have and keep. Have and keep. What's the third principle? Willful surrender. What's the fourth principle? What is it again? Cooperation. Okay, now let's start this one right here. Just give me 5 minutes. What's my time, y'all? I know somebody's going to say God's time, but what's my time for real? Quarter to one. Oh, we're good then. We're good. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say neighbor. This is a two-hour church. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, anything that's valuable, takes time. It just takes time. Just get that in your spirit. Just say, it takes time. You know, sometimes the word can be so good, time don't even bother you. Amen. You know what I mean? We have to be taught the word of God. Amen. Psalm 91. Turn that right quick. I'm going to say something to you that's going to be so powerful and so challenging today. See, we can't act upon a word that we don't have revelation of. But once we start getting revelation of it, our faith can be appropriated. And then we can start saying, wait a minute, why am I accepting the things that I'm accepting? Because the scripture is totally contrary to the things that I'm accepting. And do we get used to them? We get used to just accepting things that are hurting us, that are harming us. But yet we're in covenant with God. We're a co-laborer together with God. And we just keep accepting when the devil goes smacking us upside the head and hitting us and destroying our families and all this stuff. And the reason why is because we're not knowing how to appropriate God's word or own his word. Get it in us. Have it and keep it. Have it and keep it. Amen. Here we go. Psalm 91. Verse 1, on the count of 3, please read it all with me. 1, 2, 3. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, how many believe this is God's word? Raise your hand. Come on. This is God's word? That means if God says it, that means he ain't just speaking vaguely or fruitlessly. Is he? Correct? Now, let's break this down. Somebody say, he that dwelleth. The word dwelleth is the Hebrew word yashab, which means to settle, to sit down, or remain. I want you to get the word remain in your spirit. He that remains. Somebody say remain. In the New Testament, John chapter 15, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, watch this, you will ask what you will and it shall be done. No question. He said, it shall be done. Here, he said, he that dwelleth. What does this got to do with us being partners together with God? We're learning principles. This is the principle of the secret place. We're learning principles where we can build our intimate relationship with him and appropriate those promises unto ourselves. He that remains in the secret. Somebody say secret. In the secret. He that remains in the secret. Now we know in our English language the word secret means that which is hidden, that which is not apparent, that which is not manifested, that which is held back and hidden and kept secret. But in the Hebrew language it means the cover. He that dwelleth in the cover or the hiding place. That means that this place that is a secret place is a place where people can see us physically, but nothing can harm us physically. I'm going to show you this right here. He that remains in the secret place or the hiding place of the Most High God. Not one of the high gods, but the Most High God. That means there's nobody higher than him. He that remains in the cover or the hiding place of the Most High God shall remain or abide or remain in the shadow. Somebody say shadow. Of the Almighty. Now, this is so powerful. He's called the Most High. Somebody say Most High. And then he's called the Almighty. Now, if I take Almighty, is there any mighty left over after all? That means there's no more might after all. He's Almighty. That means he's all powerful, all potential. Are you catching what I'm saying here? And not only that, he's Most High. That means that there may be some people that might be high, but he's the Most High. If I remain in the hiding place of the Most High, I will abide or remain in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, take the word shadow, and I want you to just get this in your spirit right here. The word shadow means the shade, the defense, and the protection of the Almighty God. This is powerful right here. There is a place of intimacy with the Father that nothing from the enemy can touch us. Scriptural reference, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. What's left over after all? Nothing. I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. or injure you, one translation says. You mean to tell me that there is a place in God that all hell can be going on around me, but because of my partnership, my intimacy with him, because of my abiding and my dwelling, it might touch this person and touch that person, but it will not come nigh me? Yes. Yes. Yes, there is a place of partnership and intimacy with God where you can walk down the street and it's full of crackheads and full of pistols and bullets flying and nothing will touch you. There is a place in God where, guess what? Sickness and disease and poverty and lack can touch the whole world, but it will not touch you. But guess what? We don't experience that place because we haven't been dwelling, abiding, remaining. Well, how do I remain? I got to operate in that principle of loss. Whew. Every day you got to operate in the principle of loss. Every day you got to operate in the principle of have and keep. It ain't just a one-time thing. Every day you got to operate in the principle of willful surrender. Every day you got to operate in the principle of cooperation with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, there is a place in God where you and I could be walking and the Holy Spirit will say, turn left. And a car will fly by and hit somebody else and miss you. I'm not trying to say the car won't hit somebody else. I'm just trying to tell you, if you and I can see what our prayers have withheld, it will blow our mind. If you and I could see what our intimacy has withheld, it'll blow our mind. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul told us in the book of Thessalonians, he said, until that which is holding it back, he's talking about the church. Our prayers, our fastings, our principles of intimacy is keeping God's grace on this planet. If we're removed, all hell gonna break loose. The only reason why hell ain't breaking loose the way it's gonna break loose is because we're here. Whew, you better catch what I'm saying. We're here. But see, that remnant of people has to be a people, watch this, a people of intimacy. A people who understand their covenant with God. That's why we're going to slow down and teach it and break it down and give you scriptural references because you have to see it. You ready for this? My God, here we go. The other day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. It was in morning prayer for a couple hours, and he said to me, he said, son, he said, I'm about to reward openly that which has been done secretly. He said, I'm about to reward openly that which has been done secretly. And I began to study the word reward, and I began to find out that that word reward means to recompense. Write this down. That word reward means to repay. That word reward means to compensate. That word reward means hire. That word reward means wages. I'm talking to somebody right now. You got to catch what I'm saying here. God said, I'm about to recompense. I'm about to restore. I'm about to repay that which has been done in secret. That means it's been hidden and it hasn't been seen by natural eyes. He said that which has been done in secret, I'm about to reveal it openly. Okay? Now, the word openly means this right here. This is powerful. It means, one translation says, to make famous. The word openly, another translation means to make revealed or plainly seen. It's the Greek word phanero. Watch this. To make revealed or plainly seen. So that means God, when we operate in the secret place, Pastor Sturgis, in the hidden place, when we operate in intimacy with God, and we do those things that he tells us to do in secret, I'm going to give you four of them, we're going to stop. We do those things that he tells us to do in secret, what's going to happen is that God is obligated. I'm gonna say the word again. God is then obligated to manifest what was done in secret and make it plainly seen in the open. That means if, Lord have mercy, let me just go to the word and just give it to you. You ready for it? Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. I'm about to show you some things because you're never gonna listen to this right here. You're gonna see why Jesus told us. Love your enemies. Colossians chapter 2. Don't turn there. Just think about this right here. Verse 17, I believe it is, to 24. I believe it's chapter 2, maybe chapter 3. Amen. Write on your notes, pastor said either chapter 2 or chapter 3. But I have to say this so you can understand. The apostle Paul gave the family instruction, and he said, everything that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not to be seen of men. I'm going to say it again. Everything you do, love your husband as unto the Lord. Love your wife as unto the Lord. Eat your food as unto the Lord. Do your service in church as unto the Lord. Work your secular job as unto the Lord. Everything that you do, he said, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And he said, don't do it with eye service. Somebody say eye service. Then he turned around and said, what eye service means. He said, eye service equals pleasing men. That means when the man who is in charge is around, you do it wholeheartedly. But when the man is gone, you don't do nothing. I'm trying to show you something right here. Or it means that you're able to pray in front of people when big crowds are there, but when you're alone with God, you don't have a relationship with him. Or it means that if you're going to be seen by men concerning your giving, you're good at that. But when it's all a secret time with God, when nobody is there to pat you on the back and rub you on the back of your head and feather your cap, amen, and shine your shoes and tell you what kind of a good person you are, you don't know anything about that. Now, I'm going to show you something. Let's read Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6 together. It says, on the count of three, one, two, three. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in... Now, stop. Where is the Father? Where is the Father? Where is the Father? Watch this. And thy Father which... What? In... So the Father is in secret, and the Father sees in secret. Now, let's glue it together. He that dwelleth in the... So what God is telling us to do is you and I need to be in the secret place also. Because everything that we do as believers, the Father only sees it in... Now, watch this. And then he turned around and he finished it off and said... And that which is done in secret, he said he's going to reward it openly. Now, let's give you four things to do in secret. You ready? Matthew 5 and 46. Turn there. The first one is love. Somebody say love. Matthew 5 and 46. You ready? Look what it says here. It says, for if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Remember, in verse 6 down there, he said in chapter 6 that he will reward you openly. What reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, we have to love in secret. Let me give you some practical applications of what loving in secret is. When ain't no church members around you and people mistreating you, you are able to walk in love with them regardless. That's in secret. Not when you got five or six church people with you and somebody mistreats you and then you walk in love with them. See, it's walking in love with them when they cussing you out and nobody else is around and you still love them. This is why Jesus tell us to love our enemies. Because guess what? Whatsoever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. Whether he sow it secretly or whether he sow it openly, he's going to reward it openly. He's going to receive it openly. And there's not always good rewards. Because remember when the Pharisees and them, Jesus said, don't pray like them. Don't fast like them. Don't do that. We're going to see this right here. He said, don't be like them. He said, because they have received their reward. See, not every reward is good. There are evil rewards. There's the prophet's reward. There's the disciple reward. Amen. There's the righteous man reward. Not every reward is good. But we have to do what we do as unto the Lord, regardless of the condition, regardless of the environment, regardless of the person. It's easy to love people that will love you back. We're talking about having building principles of intimacy with the Holy Ghost. It's easy to love people that will love you back. But when people are being irate with you, down talking you, cussing you out, treating you like you a piece of crap up under a brick that ain't been seen in years, and you hear what I'm saying? That's when the real love of God is manifested. Amen. Now we know what drove Jesus to the cross, because watch this right here. When he was on the cross and they had did everything they did to him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I'm going to say it again. Some people say, "Well, I can forgive, but I don't have to forget." That's not true. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8 tells us that one of them, love, holds no record of wrongs. So if you don't forget it, that means you're holding a record. The first principle, and we won't spend a lot of time because I've been having you here a minute. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but you have to love secretly. Y'all understand that principle, right? Love when nobody else is seeing. Bless those that despitefully use you and curse you so that you may be called the children of your Father. Amen. And I'm not going to tell you it's easy. I'm not going to sit up here and preach to you like, you know what I mean? Somebody just irately went off on me the other day. They threatened to sue me and just, I mean, literally on the phone, everything good I said to them, they just flipped it back around. If I told you the names they called me, it'd blow your mind. You know what I mean? They called me all kind of stuff. Said I was filthy. Anybody who have been on my house know me and my wife ain't filthy people. Said I was filthy, disgusting people. You know what I mean? Threatened to put me in the newspaper and all kind of stuff like that. And you know what I did? I sat back on the phone and said, "You know what?" I said, "I apologize." I said, "You and your mom have never done anything wrong to me." I said, "You know, please forgive me." Amen. Am I telling the truth, Rosie? And it pierced my heart so bad that when I got done, I had to get those words off of me, because I started evaluating my life. Dang, am I filthy? I'm looking around trying to see, am I a filthy person, you know? And I know I'm not filthy. Anybody who know me know I'm not filthy. Amen. You can't be filthy living with Pastor Rosie. I tried that years ago, man. She won't let the socks sit on the couch or nothing, you know. Shoes got to be put in boxes and stuff. And you walk across the floor, you got to wipe the floor with a rag. I mean, come on, somebody say amen. And that's a blessing, though. You know what I'm saying? But that was the test, because, can I tell you something? It happened the same day God started pouring this into me. The same day it happened. I said, "Wow, God, she called me filthy. Glory be to God." Say, neighbor, you got to give in secret. Matthew 6 and 2 says, "Therefore, when thou doest thine alms," somebody say alms, "giving, do not sound a trumpet." You know what I mean when he say that. "Look what I've done. Look how much money I gave." You could tell if you gave it in secret if you come back to the pastor and tell him what you gave him. You didn't give it in secret then. Bishop Butler said that a man came up to him and he gave him like a significant offering, $100,000 or whatever, and then set up an appointment with him and came to his office and said, "I know the direction that you need to give that money." He said, before we finish, he said, "You can take your money and you can leave." He said, "I'm God's man. You don't tell me to do nothing with what God puts here. Now, if you gave it from God, then you give it from God. But if you didn't give it from God, then bounce. It's Shaka Zulu." Amen. You know, because people do it as unto men instead of unto God. We got to get the big picture. You see what I mean? So now if you do it as unto the man, you're going to try to see what kind of suit he got on. You'll be checking out what kind of car he drive. Come on, somebody say amen. If the pastor get a new car, he got to be taking the church's money. Amen. If he get a new suit, he have to be taking the church's money. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. I'm not going to go over to that church. I got one hand clap and it was mine. I ain't going to go over to that church because that pastor talk about money all the time. Well, listen, let me just tell you something right here. Say, believer, I am mature. Come on, say this. Say, I am mature. You should never listen to secondhand information. You should never do that. You should never make a judgment based upon what somebody else said. Don't stop yourself from coming to the house of God or a place that God might be dealing with you about because somebody else said. Why don't you do that? Because you're mature. Mature people don't make decisions based upon what this one said. When I was a kid, I could have said, you know what? I went over to Jamie's house and I asked for a Twinkie and he said no. By the time it got back through seven of my friends, Clark went over to Jamie's house, asked for a Twinkie. His mama said no. So Clark slapped his mom in the face, went upside her head with a fork, and then got up to the counter, took the Twinkie and ate it, walked up out the door, and then came back in and said, "Give me some more." Y'all know I'm telling the truth. People just change stuff all around. So you can't operate off of misinformation. Somebody say amen. You got to give in secret. I'm about to give you a prophetic word. You ready? Because this is what the Lord told me to release. Every single one of you who have given, and it seemed like you haven't seen no return on your giving, God said, I've seen it. And I'm about to reward you openly. You're just going to have to receive it right now. I'm telling you right now, God is not a man that he would lie. Neither the son of man that he would change the way he think. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. That means if I said it, it settles it. That's how I stand on stuff. No matter what's going on, I know it's cold in here. You ain't going to get me to say nothing negative. You know why? Because every time I went through something, God showed up and he showed out. Every single time. So I ain't going to say nothing negative. Amen. I told people around here, don't be coming to me with no problems and stuff. I don't even want to hear it. You know what I mean? Get that word, get problem out of your vocabulary. They know I'm telling the truth. I don't like that word. We got a problem. Or somebody say something bad is going on or this is happening. No, no, no. You should already have that thing in your spirit and think about a solution before you come to me. Because trust me, everything that you're thinking about, I have already thought about. Amen. Problems don't help people. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Talking about your problem or your circumstance, it don't help at all. It just don't help at all. It just make it bigger, don't it? You know what I mean? So come to marriage counseling. You're sitting in both, everybody arguing about what's going wrong. And it's like, you know what? You know what? I'm going to shut up and you're going to shut up. And let's just do what the Bible say. I'm going to love you and you're going to honor me. Come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, shut up. Amen. Because you know what? If you tell me, watch this, Carlos, if me and you sit down and you say, you know what, Pastor, I don't like the message you preached last week. You know what, Pastor, I think you should have preached it like this. You know what? Now you don't put an image in my mind that I suck. Something wrong with me. Now all of a sudden, now I got to get that image that you put in me out of me. Now, you catch what I'm saying? And then now I got the image in me. Now I'm trying to retaliate. Oh, you put it in me, so I'm going to put it on you. I don't like you, man. You're Mexican. You eat tacos and you eat menudo and I like hot dogs and boiled eggs. And that's what I like. And you know what? And now you're going to go home and say, dang, I'm Mexican. I eat tacos. Come on, somebody say amen. When have you ever sat down and tried to tell somebody something about them? Amen. Let me tell you something. Before you sit down and talk to them, they already know that thing about them. So what do? We go to God and say, God, I thank you. My wife is a virtuous woman, clothed in strength, clothed in honor, clothed in dignity. My heart trusts in her because she do me no harm. In her mouth is the law of kindness. She excels above them all because she fears you, God. I go with the word. And she go with the word. You got to go with the word. I got to fix that woman. Something wrong with her. She like the Bible. It's in a Bible PC. A continual dropping. Bloop, bloop. Look, she done ran me to the rooftop. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you got to pray in secret. You all know that. Matthew 6 and 16. You can just write it down. You got to pray in secret. Romans chapter 4, verse 4 say you got to have faith in secret. This is powerful. I mean, pray in secret is Matthew 6 and 5. And then you got to fast in secret, Matthew 6 and 16, because I've been keeping you guys long. We can recap this on Wednesday, so make sure you're here. But listen, I'm just telling you this right now. Everything that you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Now, this is a flip side to that coin. Don't say I'm doing it as unto the Lord and dishonor the man or the woman. Don't do that. Shep got a song called Don't Do That on the album. Don't be doing that. Don't be doing that. You know, don't do that. Take them and say, don't be doing that. Don't be doing that. You know what I mean? Don't dishonor people. Amen. That'd be like a kid in your house eating your food on your plate with your fork, drinking your Kool-Aid, sitting down at your table and gonna tell you, "Oh, Dad, only reason I'm doing that because I'm doing it unto the Lord." Boy, I knocked you upside your little fork head, your little pinto bean head, little slender bicycle neck. You, I elbow you in your throat. What's wrong with you? Unto the Lord, Glory be to God. What's wrong with you? Amen. Kids nowadays. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Amen. Y'all can stand your feet. I'm done. I'm just playing around. I'm done. Y'all learned something today? Tell your neighbor, say, do it as unto the Lord. See, the power of the secret place is that you got to understand that God sees everything we do. Tell your neighbor that. Say, neighbor, the Father sees it all. Amen. So you know what? He sees in secret. So we got to get in that secret place with him and spend time with him, magnify him, glorify him. Amen. Right now, we're going to have Pastor Sturgis come on up here. Give him a hand.